supporting you in your dog parenting journey. The Dynamic Dog Owner with Debbie Potter. Hello and welcome to The Dynamic Dog Owner, the podcast dedicated to supporting you on your dog parenting journey. And that is quite apt for today because our topic for the day is about the journey you take with your dogs. And firstly, it sounds a bit strange calling it a journey rather than dog training classes, etc., or life with a dog. But we call it a journey because it is a journey that we take together, but it's a very roundabout sort of process you go through with your dog. It's not just a start to finish activity in a straight line. Journeys tend to take time and have dips and bends and twists and turns. And that is very similar to our dog training journey or life with a dog. Because in your however many years that you're going to spend with your dog, you do take a long time to get to know each other, to work each other out. You learn together, you get to know each other's quirks, you travel through lots of variety of ages and stages from sort of puppyhood to adolescence to adulthood, and then obviously the senior years. And it can feel like a really slow journey. And at the end, you know, we often think of it's a journey of success. It's more of a journey of their life. It's not about success and how well we do. It's about the times that we share together. And on this journey, we learn a lot. Living with your dog really builds your relationship. You learn so much. I mean, I know for myself, I learn a lot about my individual dogs, for one. But on the journeys I've taken with my dogs, I've learned a lot about myself, about who I am as a person. I've learned to develop many skills through working with my dogs, from patience being one of them, to look at the world from a different perspective, to set lower expectations or realistic expectations, to celebrate small wins. Working with my dogs and traveling our journeys together has helped me to be a better person. And obviously, you know, as any old journey, if you're imagining, I don't know, where do you want to go? Let me imagine a journey I've been on. So many, many years ago, I hiked the Inca Trails for charity, and there were lots of ups and downs. And we were told about Peruvian flats, which were basically when the start and end point of your day were at the same altitude, but in between, you did lots of ups and downs and lots of hills. And that's kind of a little bit like what your journey of training is with your dog. You do take not a straight line from A to B. You go up and down hills, sometimes mountains. You go round some mountains and dip into some valleys. You go up some mountains again. And that kind of changes all those different twists and turns and ups and downs as you're going through the ages and stages of development and having new challenges and learning new skills. I think in general, people want a quick fix. Most people want something very quickly. And often, especially with dog training, we want that 6-week solution. Many people believe that they're going to sign up to a 6-week course with their dog. And in that 6 weeks, suddenly, magically, everything is going to improve. Everything is going to change. And we know that that isn't always the case. And we're going to talk today a little bit about why our journey should be slow. Think of the hare and the tortoise. The tortoise, the slow journey, is the successful one. And we're going to talk a little bit about why it takes a while, why it's not a quick fix. I'm saying many people do want a quick fix. And if you do, if you haven't got time to train or if you don't want to move slow, there are options for you for sure. But we're going to talk about why the way I train and the way majority of modern trainers train takes a little bit longer. And first of all, let's look at the quick fixes. Generally, we put unrealistic expectations upon ourselves, upon our dogs. And I think a lot of these unrealistic expectations come from social media, TV shows, articles, people you see out in the world, for example. Because social media, let's face it, everyone shares the life that they want people to see. Not many people share the nitty-gritty. TV shows about dog training are designed for ratings. They are not designed to show you the start and finish process. They're not designed to show you all of the small steps and stages you have to go on through this journey with your dog that can take obviously 10 years. they show you a very small snapshot in time. And if the trainers on the telly didn't get results instantly, then not many people are going to watch the show. The TV show is not going to make their money, and therefore it's not worthwhile. So obviously they have to give you results. Look, at Crufts on the telly. You see the top of the top dogs. You see the dogs that are competing in agility because they are the best in their field. You see the police dogs. You see the Hooper's dogs. You see all the different dogs that are working at a really high level. And then when you get see your dog and go, God, they can't even walk down the road without pulling on the lead. Naturally, you're setting your bar and your expectations really high. Equally, in modern sort of social media, we can see things in a certain way and not necessarily look at the whys. How is it working? Why is it working? And then again, we expect the same things to happen. And I think this is especially so in lots of trainers that are very, very large on social media. They tend to have really good marketing skills and they provide quick results. Therefore, people follow them. And that's absolutely fine. There are a lot of aversive trainers that have good ratings. There are equally a lot of modern, force-free, ethical trainers that have a lot of ratings too. But always just look at, are they just sharing results? And why is their result working so quickly? If you've ever looked at, I don't know what any dog show you're watching. They show you snippets throughout time. One I can think of is I can't remember what it was called, but it's a lady that goes into the houses and they show you now, then they show you in a few weeks' time, and then they show you like a year later. Because that's more realistic. A year later, this problem's going to be fixed. It's not going to be fixed in the 1 hour I spend with you on the telly. And obviously, why do we train this way? Why do we go slow? And the reason being is if you think of it like if you're looking for a quick fix, it's a bit like putting a plaster on a cut. So imagine you've got a tiny little nick on your hand, you pop a plaster on the top. It doesn't take away the problem. It hides it, it stops it bleeding out, etc. It covers it up. The cut is still there, but it's not causing a problem. It's not getting any worse. It's not getting infected. Or it's not getting blood on your top or whatever, because it's covered up with a plaster. If you take that plaster off, the cut's still going to be there. And on very, very small cuts, that's not a problem. However, if you had a massive severed an artery and you tried to put a plaster on it, we all know that that's not going to work. The plaster is not strong enough. It's too big of a problem. And it's not going to cover up. We can't like leave it to just heal on its own. We have to obviously go to surgery and have it sewn back together and stitches and everything else. And I think this is like, we can liken this to dog training quite a lot. Because if we're using methods that are very quick and they give an instant result, or they quickly solve the problem, what we often have to look at is it just putting a plaster on the top? Is it a small cut that we're just covering up and saying it will heal by itself? Are we trying to put a plaster on a severed artery? And often with the training you will see on telly, etc., you are seeing somebody try and pop a really big plaster over a problem and it temporarily will solve the problem. But as soon as you take that plaster off, naturally, the person, severed artery, is going to start bleeding again. And so this is a little bit like when our dog's got a problem. So say, for example, your dog has, what problem could we pick? Say they're reactive, because reactivity is so, so common. You'd be surprised how common it is, because most people think that they're on their own, and they're not. There are so many people having the same struggles as you are. If you've got a reactive dog, and you try and put a plaster on it, so some of the methods that people use are telling them not to react. So giving them a lead jerk, or for some people to tell them off. So you could lead snap, you could tell them off, etc. Those tend to be like plasters. They're stopping the problem at that moment, but they're not stopping them from doing it next time. So then each time you see a dog, you've got to put another plaster on and another plaster on and another plaster on, because you're telling them not to do something in the moment, but you're not changing the emotions as to why they are reacting. Now, if you act like a surgeon instead and you don't put a plaster on because you know this is a bigger problem and we need to actually go in, sew things up, give stitches, etc., and give it time to heal, that's more of a long-lasting result. And when with reactivity, we work to change the emotions behind the reactivity rather than stopping them reacting, we are effectively doing the same as a surgeon. We're going to the root cause of why are you reacting, and changing the emotions around that and building new emotions. Just like a surgeon will say, right, the bleeding doesn't need to be stopped. We need to go in and actually fix the problem. That's why we would always say that the slower the progress, the more long-lasting results. Because naturally, how long does it take to put a plaster on? I don't know, a couple of minutes, if that. If you need to go to surgery to have a very large cut sewn up, that's going to take you a few hours. But we know that the surgery is the answer. That is the thing that is going to really fix the problem and stop it keep coming back. And the same thing happens with our dogs. So we can use sort of more aversive methods and tell the dog off or tell them not to do something, but it's a quick fix, and then our plaster's going to pop off, and then the next time they're going to react again. If we go underneath and fix the actual problem, yes, it's going to take a long time. It's much slower progress, but the results are that it's not going to keep reoccurring. And this is where we say that, you know, training is a journey and it's a slow road. It's not something that happens straight away. Even obviously we're talking about like fixing a problem with reactivity. Even with actually training, you know, yes, you can teach your dog to sit in a couple of minutes, but can you proof the sit in a couple of minutes? No, it takes months. My middle dog is 5. We're still proofing his sit because there's still situations that I want him to be able to do and that he can't yet. And the reason it's a slow journey is because I am looking at his emotions and I'm looking at teaching him what to do through positive associations. If he gets it wrong, nothing bad is going to happen to you. I'm not going to tell you off. I'm not going to smack you, hit you, shout at you, anything else. It's just a, okay, you got that wrong. I was pushing it too hard. I need to go back and start again. And that's why it can take a really long time, because all the time our dogs are learning and we have to make sure that they're learning what we want them to learn. So we always want to more. We always want extra. We always want to do more with our dogs and have better behaviour and be the best we can, because we're setting the unrealistic expectations and we're setting the bar really, really high. The slower you train, the better your results are going to be. And that comes into all the other topics we've talked about before about, you know, setting realistic expectations. Most dogs are not going to have mastered everything by the time they're a few months old, by the end of puppy class. It takes a long time to really, really get long results. The people who, for example, go to Crufts or compete with their dogs, they are training every single day, little by little, gradually building on successes. So think of your training, if you're training, or think of your solving a problem or changing emotions, if it's working through reactivity or separation anxiety, think of it as a journey. Journeys generally are longer. They're about the experiences we have on the way, not getting from A to B. Therefore, you spend the time learning together, building your relationship, working through problems together. And at the end of that, once you've gone through all those dips and twists and turns, you're going to have a much stronger relationship. The behaviour that you're trying to change, or the emotion that you're trying to change, the behaviour you're trying to learn, is going to be much stronger because you've really taken your time to build it. And therefore, you're going to reach your end destination, whatever that may be, a lot quicker. Yes, it may take you longer, but you're working with your dog rather than against them, and you're using nice, kind methods and helping them grow at their own pace. And that's the important part. So if you're looking to change your behaviour and someone promises you can do it really quickly, or you think, oh, we'll have that fixed in a week, Just stop and ask yourself, are you the hare or the tortoise? Do you want to just rush through, get a bit cocky, go to sleep and then lose the race? Or do you want to really, really slowly plod on, just carrying on taking slow steps and then eventually reaching that finish line and getting there slowly but successfully? Don't expect your training journey to be quick. It takes a while, but it should be fun. It should be you and your dog enjoying spending time together. It's not about rushing to the destination. It's about having fun along the way. As always, hopefully this topic and this little thought for the day has been useful for you. If you found it useful, do obviously comment on the podcast episode. And if you have got a friend that would benefit, do share it. If you want to leave us a review, that would be amazing. And I can't wait to catch up with you again soon. Thank you for listening to The Dynamic Dog Owner with me, Debbie Potter. See you next time.